Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Matthew chapter number 4. I'll go ahead and startle you right off. We're going to cover the end of chapter 4 and all the way through chapter 8. So if you forgot to bring your snack, it was a bad time to forget. Only part of that was true. We are going to go through all of those chapters, but only touching parts. A very encouraging thought to me as we read this. I'm going to read chapter number 4, verse number 23, down through 25. Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Lord, we thank you for your word. Open it now to our heart as we confess our dependence upon your Holy Spirit, the unction to speak it. We trust now that you'll make us your mouthpiece and feed all of our hearts, changing us with your truth. We ask it earnestly, praying in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to share our heart tonight concerning what the Bible says about following Jesus. The last verse that I read to you, verse number 25, says this, and there followed him great multitudes. Now, don't close your Bible. If you want to keep up with it tonight, I'll encourage you to keep your Bible open as we go through this very quickly, but I want us to see in the next four chapters as we go through this what the Bible says about following Jesus. I want to start tonight as we go right into chapter number 5, verse number 1 and 2. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Now the next several chapters, all the way through chapter number 7, you'll find in your Bibles, or at least most Bibles, that it's all in red letters. And that we know to be the Sermon on the Mount. Some referred to it to the Beatitudes, but that was only a very short part of what Jesus actually referred to or spoke of. But when you follow Jesus, I want to let you know tonight that you'll learn some things. I had a fella, or we were talking just the other day about how important it was to always be learning. And there's certainly a lot down here that I'm still learning about. I'm still learning how to do things, and things that really don't have a great deal of importance or significance. But when it comes to God, there's a lot of things that I need to know. And if you'll follow Jesus, here's what I can assure you. He'll always be teaching you and me. And what a joy that is. And as I go through this very quickly, so you follow along with me in the Word, I want you to see the wondrous truth that at one setting, this was one moment in time. It may have taken him all day, I don't know. exactly how long it took Jesus, but what I know is that there was a bunch of people followed him. And what those people got to experience was recorded for you and I. Look with us as he taught them. Chapter number 5, verse number 3 is where he began to give them those Beatitudes. Now, I'm not going to preach on these. I just want you to think about what it was that those people learned that day, what they got to hear with their own ears. And let me be clear, they wouldn't have heard it had they not followed Jesus. May I say to you tonight how important it is for you to follow Jesus. Amen. Don't give up. Whatever the cost, whatever the sacrifice that has to be made, whatever it is that might hinder you, do the very best you can to follow Jesus. And if you can't follow him everywhere that you'd like to, let him be a part of your life and follow him in your daily routine. Follow him in all that you do, because when you follow Jesus, here's what I can assure you, you'll learn. He'll teach you, and he'll never stop teaching you. He taught them there that day the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure. All of those wondrous truths, and how I wish we could preach on them all tonight. And then he goes right on in, verse number 13, to talk about the salt and the light, and how important that it is that we have a witness and a testimony that shines out in the word. Verse number 17, he begins to teach them about the law and how he had come to fulfill the law. Verse 21, he taught them about anger and how important it was that we didn't let anger turn into hatred toward our brethren. He taught them there how important it was to forgive one another. What a wondrous truth. Verse number 27, how he shared with them how sin comes from our hearts, and the origination of every sinful thing comes from within a man, not on the outside. Verse number 31, he speaks of divorce and the hard place that divorce puts all. 33, concerning oaths and the importance of keeping whatever it is that you promised. Verse number 38, retaliation, the importance there of not taking revenge for ourselves and letting God be that one that vengeance is given to. Verse number 43, concerning our enemies, how that we ought to bless them that curse us, give to them that are hungry, those that are thirsty, even our enemies, give them a drink according to the word of God. Chapter number 6, verse number 1, he teaches them concerning how to give. Verse number 5, how to pray. Verse number 16, how to fast. Verse number 19, he begins to tell them about how to lay up treasures in this world. Verse number 22, how he is the light of the world. Verse number 24, how to put God's kingdom first. In all of these things, friend, we see the power of God as he teaches these people in one setting. He's not done. Chapter number 7, verse 1, he teaches them on the importance of not judging others and allowing God to be the only judge. Verse number 7, teaching us to ask God and to seek God in prayer, teaching us how to continue instant, always in prayer. Verse number 13, teaching us about the broad way and the narrow way and the importance of being on that narrow path. Verse number 15, how to behave and how we ought to beware of false prophets, and how we can tell a good tree, a person that's been saved, from one that has not. Verse number 21, how that not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into heaven. Oh, we touched on that last week. Verse number 24, built on a firm foundation, the importance of having your life anchored in Jesus. When you follow Jesus, you will learn something. There's a lot of people that don't understand the relevance of that, but I can tell you right now, everything in this book is meant for your learning and for mine. What a wondrous thing it is to have the knowledge of Christ within us, the knowledge of Christ within us. But oh, how much that we can know if we'll just open our heart and follow Jesus. I believe the intent of following Jesus every day is that we learn something else. And a lot of people would discount how important this is, but I can tell you that it's the wise friend that'll find themselves planted by the river. Those that have given their heart to learning
something from God. It doesn't make any difference how old you are, how long that you've been in it. Friend, if you'll stick with it, you'll find there is always something in the Word of God for you and I to glean. How wonderful it is when we apply ourselves and we study the Word of God, and suddenly it begins to open to us like a flower, and it begins to give to us things that before we couldn't see. How many times have we looked into the Word of God and found a treasure we didn't know was there? How, when we applied ourselves and we become a student of the Word of God, willing to learn, desiring to learn. Friend, when you follow Jesus, you'll find that He will teach you in all of these things. That's exciting to me. Amen. That just encourages me to seek Him in His Word. You know, a lot of people are looking for private revelation. May I say to you today that God just doesn't give private revelation. At least not revelation that's to be shared. What He has given, though, is recorded in His book. And I'm so grateful that we have a book. Amen. There's been a lot of bloodshed for you and I to have this book right here. We take it for granted. Most people leave it on their shelf until next church meeting, and they'll grab it as they go out the door. Right? And then they pat themselves on the back because they didn't forget it. If we think that's learning, friend, we've missed it. I tell you, the greatest treasure is to be able to get in that place where it's just you and God, a place where it's private and intimate, and it's just between you and the shepherd. And brother, He can teach you some things. He can open up your mind to what you've never seen before. Some looking at me like I don't know what. Hey, if God can teach me, He can teach you. Amen. If you'll just become teachable and realize that in following Christ, it is meant for us to learn and to always put ourselves in a place where God can teach you and me. What does the Bible teach us about following Christ? Well, I can tell you the multitude that followed Him that day got an ear for. What a message. What a message. Took four chapters from Matthew to get it all wrote down. And as I thought about that, I was astonished at those people that they stuck with it. And how in the world they could keep up with what He said. Certainly, most that were there that day are like most that's here on a Sunday. It's in one ear and out the other, and time they get home, they can't even tell you what the preacher preached on. Now, I hope that wasn't you, but if it is, we ought to be more careful about the Word of God. That not a word of it falls on our deaf ear, but that our heart is open and that we're hearing and also obeying the Word of God. I don't want to miss anything. Amen. When He begins to open up for us the table that's been spread, I can assure you, friend, that it's the spiritual food that we need. And it's the Word of God that'll teach us. And regardless of who you are, you expose yourself to the presence of Christ, and you will learn the spiritual things, those things that are of God. There's a place in the Scripture the Apostle Paul scolded the church. And he's told them, he said, by now, he said, you should have been on the meat. He said, but unfortunately, I'm still having to give you the milk. And what he meant was, is he was having to stick to the rudimentary doctrines of the gospel because they hadn't applied themselves. They hadn't put their heart into it and studied the Word of God. They were missing it. He said, by now, you should have grown past it. What did he mean by that? He meant they should have learned it by now. How sad it is for me, right, to look on this board and to see how many people attend Sunday school. As if the Word of God does not matter. Let me be very clear. It is the only thing that matters. The Word of God is everything. And if you think right now that you have no need of learning the Word of God, my friend, you're in a terrible condition. With a mind that is shut up to the things that are glorious and holy, to the things that will grow you and make one wise unto salvation. It's what's in this book. It's not in the ability of a teacher to teach it. It's not in the intellect of one to expound. It's the Holy Spirit of God that brings His Word. And he intends on me to grow. And he intends on his word being alive in me and changing me. How we ought to be ashamed that we don't pick up the word of God and read the word of God and study the word of God to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. How important it is for the followers of Jesus to recognize that we're on a journey of learning. We're on a journey to be taught. School's in session, by the way. Every day. Every day. I can tell you without reservation that I know a whole lot more today than I did 35 years ago. 40 years ago. You say, how come? Because he's taught me something. Let me be clear. There's a few lessons I had to learn over. And he knows how to teach them too. He knows how to get my attention, really. He knows how to set me down and get me focused. He knows how to get my heart and my mind in tune with what he needs to say. Sometimes there's a rod of correction involved where he draws me to that place that I ain't got nowhere else to go but to open his word and seek God. Listen, part of our problem is we misunderstand how God speaks. Now, God speaks, don't get me wrong. But let me be very clear. God has already spoken. And part of the time, when he gives us unction of the Holy Spirit and begins to speak in our heart, all he's doing is taking us back to this. What's already there? And it's our fault we don't know it. Because we've not applied ourselves to it. We cop out and we say, we'll leave that to the preacher to study it and to share it and to give. We'll leave that to the deacon. We'll leave that to the Sunday school teachers to be the ones that study the Word of God. You're hurting yourself, friend. We need to grow up and accept that we're learning. We're in session. It's time to be schooled by the Spirit of God and His Word. Some of you may think, and maybe even some listening, you may say to yourself, well, it just doesn't matter. It does matter. Right? Or that it's not really a problem. Yeah, it is a problem. Hey, most people don't care about the Word of God. You know what they ain't figured out? They ain't figured out that following Jesus is about His Word. Following Jesus is every bit about what's written within the pages of this precious book. Oh, how the psalmist delighted in it. How it was a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. How it's rescued you and me over and over and over. Amen. How it has delivered you and I. The Word of God. The power is in the Word of God. It's living. It doesn't take its resource or source from you and I. It is power of itself. It's the dynamite of God. It's the Word. The power of the gospel. And yet we treat it as if it's just another book. We treat it as if, here's a dangerous thing. Most people, they think they know it. Right? If that's you tonight, I don't care if you're 100, you don't know it. There's way more in there than you'll ever scratch out. The very best of us have confessed that in the end. I'm talking about those that spent their entire lives, all of their working days, all they did was study this book and in the end confess that they only got the surface. How can you exhaust an infinite God in His wisdom? God, forgive me. How can we ever think, oh, I've read that. I know that. God, forgive me. His Word is a treasure. And it is endless. I asked God today as I was looking through the Sermon on the Mount. My goodness. And I began to pray. I said, Lord, if you'll just open that to me, I'd like to preach every one of those things. One by one, right? Yours was going to sleep as I was going through them. There's tons of them, wasn't there? But wasn't there some of them that when you heard it, you thought, I'd like to hear more about that. I'd like for him to open up my heart on that one. I believe that's what he wants to do with me. But I didn't know I was going to spend this long on point number one. But I'm telling you right now, he's meant for you and I to be learners. You say, preacher, I'm just not very smart. I don't have much to do with it. Lord, if it's about intellect, we'd all been left in the back, wouldn't we? If it's just about my IQ, right? I'd have been the one in the corner in the back of the class when it come to it. But that's not what it's about. It's about seeking God, who can give it to you in a way that even a wayfaring fool can believe and not err therein. No. Well, I've known men, known of them for sure, that couldn't even read. Couldn't even read. Amen. Amen. What? Well said right there. Yeah, they give it to me. That's amazing. Betty Birchfield would read it. Her husband was the preacher. I never met him. When I was the pastor of Meadow Branch, he was already gone. But she told me the stories, how she would read it to him. And he'd say, honey, read it again. And she'd read it again. And she said she might sit there for 15 minutes or 30 minutes, and he'd say, read that again. And she said before it was over with, he memorized it. And God would open it up in him. And he could preach. And he couldn't even read. Don't tell me that you have a learning disability. No, what you've got is a spiritual disability. You're not willing to learn. You see, whatever you want to claim is your problem, that's not your problem. Your problem is your unwillingness to yield yourself to the Word of God and become a student of His Word. The very least you could do is attend Sunday school every day. Come to the worship services every time, where the Word of God is opened at least and read for you. Right? Don't we do that? Don't you stand and you acknowledge and you read the Word? And then hopefully by the grace and the Spirit of God, it's open to our hearts and it's shared. And we learn. Who in the world decided you can't learn on Wednesday night? Oh, it's full. And every time I can get a chance to be in a place where I can learn more about the Word of God, that there is worth more than everything else in the world. They would have never heard it if they weren't following Jesus. But here's what I can tell you. When you follow Jesus, you will learn, because He will teach you all the time. He will teach you. Look with us now at chapter number 8 as we try to move on. Chapter number 8. What does the Bible teach us about following Jesus? Well, let me tell you what happened to those that kept following Jesus. He healed a bunch of people. What John said at the end of his gospel, he said if everything that Jesus did were to be written down, he said the world could not contain the books. I think that's true. Chapter 8, verse number 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes, what? Followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What did he do for the leper? He healed him. Would the leper have been healed if he hadn't have come to Jesus? No, he would have missed it. Verse number 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. What did he do for the centurion's servant? Verse number 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. What did he do for Peter's mother-in-law? Verse number 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Now, let me be clear about this. God can heal anybody. Let me be more specific. God does heal people that don't even ask for healing. There's times he rains on the just and the unjust, right? There's times that the lost man gets a... God just favors him. But may I say something about those following him? He's extra good to them. James said to him in the 5th chapter, he says, any sick among you? He said, let them call for the elders and have them anoint him with oil and pray the prayer of faith that they might be healed. I believe in healing. God's healed me of some things. Physically, I've had things, and God, I know it was God. You won't convince me of anything else. I know that he healed me. I know a lot of you have that same testimony. And for the biggest part, I believe I know why he healed me. Because I ask him. And it's only the followers, typically, that are calling on the Lord. It's the ones who've committed their lives to him. It's the ones who know when they get an illness that it may or may not be his will to heal, but they also know that they have a right, according to the chapters in Matthew we just went through, to ask and it shall be given, to seek and we shall find, to knock and it'll be opened up. What he said was ask. You see, God can do anything. Is there anything too hard for him? Why, most of the people that I know of that have ever received a healing touch from God, they were followers of Christ. When we read in the Word of God concerning the followers of Jesus Christ, this centurion came, and according to Jesus, he said, I've not found such a great faith as this man's in all of Israel. Because what the centurion said was, Lord, you don't have to come to him. All you got to do is say the word, and he'll be healed. How do I know? He said, because I'm a man of authority as well. And I say to them, go and they go, do and they do. And he said, all you have to do is speak the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples. He said, I've not heard such a faith in all of Israel. He looked back to man. He said, just as your faith, he said, he's healed. And as he went home, his servants met him, said, hey, no need to bother the master. He got better. No. What time was it? They told him what time. He said, yep. That's when he said he's healed. See, if he hadn't sought Jesus, if he hadn't been following after Jesus, where would that have come from? Now, let me be clear about this. I've only got a couple more things to share, but let me be clear about physical afflictions. It happens to everybody. Nobody's exempt, right? You say, oh, poor, pitiful me. I've got this or I've got that. There ain't no telling how many other hundreds or thousands or millions of people got the same thing right now. The one thing I can tell you for sure is that whether you're a follower of Christ or you're an unbeliever, you're going to get sick because your body's prone to those kind of things, and it's everywhere. That's what you can be certain of. This is common to man. Everybody gets sick, but not everybody knows Jesus. I consider myself of a great advantage, don't you? Oh, what a wonderful thing to be able to know that all I've got to do is pray, Now, I don't know sometimes whether what his will is, how long I need to be sick, or whether I'll always be. I don't know what's perfect according to God, but I do know he can heal me anytime with anything. Right? He done it. He showed it. The first 20 verses of chapter number 8, what was he doing? He's healed them. Didn't matter who they were. Didn't matter what their affliction was. Didn't matter the problem. Didn't matter the complexity. No, he healed them. Is he any different today?
You follow Jesus. And I believe for the followers of Christ, there is a great opportunity to experience at times the healing of God. Let me add one thing that is special to this. It may not be me that gets healed, but when I see him heal you, that is wondrous too. You don't have to if you don't want to, but how many absolutely know for certain that he healed you at one point of something? And every time that happens, people look and they wonder and they think, how awesome that is. Do you know if you didn't follow Jesus, you wouldn't know none of that. Ain't it awesome? Right? Somebody stands up and they tell about the wondrous thing that God did for them. Only God could have done that thing for them. And you're sitting there saying, wow. That's right. You wasn't a follower of Jesus, you know what? Right, you'd been watching Andy, right? You'd have missed it. You'd have missed it. But followers of Jesus get to see the miracles. I believe old Peter was just as amazed when he healed his mother-in-law. But he was a follower of Jesus, so he got to see it. He got to experience it. All right. Next one. Following Jesus. Verse number 19 is where we're at, chapter number 8. Stay in your Bible with me. Verse number 19. Now, verse number 18. Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, they were still following him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. A certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will, what? Follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not to where to lay his head. And what's he saying? What's the concept here? Now, by the way, I'm not done. Let me go to verse number 21. And another of his disciples, which is what? It's somebody that follows Jesus. Another one of his disciples said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. What was he saying? Let me tell you something about the followers of Jesus. It'll cost you something. It'll cost you something to follow Jesus. Because when you follow Jesus, there is a commitment that we make that puts him at the very top. The scribe said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, great, but let me be clear. When you follow me, you're following somebody that don't have a place to lay his head down. You follow me, you won't know where we're going. You follow me, there's no guarantee about how much you get to eat that day. Right? Remember the time they had him in the wilderness and there was thousands of people that had followed Jesus? Come toward the end of the day and the disciples said, Lord, send them home. It's late. They ain't had nothing to eat. They send them home. All day they hadn't had anything to eat. He said, you want to follow me? Foxes, they got holes. The birds, they got nests. He said, the Son of Man don't have a place to lay his head. I don't have a home. You ever considered Jesus was homeless? Here's what he said. Yeah, you can follow me. You just need to count the cost. That wasn't the only time he said that, was it? He said, it's important that you understand that when you follow me, what you're doing is dying to yourself. Because to follow me, you lose your life to get life. The next man that came to him, a disciple, a follower of Christ, he said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. But he said, you're going to have to give me a while until I go bury my father. Now, let me be clear. Jesus wasn't saying that when your father dies, you shouldn't attend the funeral. Right? We all understand that. Jesus wasn't saying that he was insensitive to the deceasing of someone you love. That was not his point. What was his point? What was his point to that man was, is you will always have somebody dying. See, what he knew about that man, we didn't know. What he knew about that man was probably hidden within the motives of his own heart, was that there would always be something that took the place of true obedience and the following of Jesus Christ. What's it in your life? Right? Every time the opportunity to follow Jesus comes up, to serve Jesus, I got that to do. I can't go. I can't do that. Right? We'll come up with some of the most lame excuses, reasons we think why we can't follow Christ. Jesus looked at him and he said, let the dead bury their dead. Follow me. You're either going to follow me regardless of the cost, or you've probably not considered what you're saying you will do. What the Bible teaches about those that follow Christ is that Christ must be number one. You cannot serve two masters. If you really want to follow Christ, right? Number one, you got to be born again. But if you get born again, you will want to follow Christ. And what you'll find is that your flesh is a hindrance, right? Your flesh, your mind, it will come up with 1,000 reasons why you shouldn't be on the firing line for God. But what he's saying is we need to wake up and recognize that following Jesus has a price. Last one. Look with us in the last part of chapter number 8. Verse number 23. Let me read it to you. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Right? They still following him. He ain't run them off yet. They're still following Jesus, and they followed him right onto a boat. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? What does the Bible teach us about following Jesus? Well, let's look at hard things. Let's look at the troubles of life. Just those things that come up, which again, I say to you, are common to everybody. Right? You know how many thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of men or women had been on a boat, on water, and a great storm come up? No telling how many people. You think the disciples and Jesus were the first ones to ever get on a boat and experience a storm? No. But they were the first ones to get on a boat with Jesus in a storm. Tell me that don't make a difference. You see what I'm saying? Because they followed Jesus, they were in a position that thousands had been in before, but their position was unique. Why? Because Jesus was with them. Here's what I can tell you. I know hard things are coming to me. I'm not exempt from hard things. I'm not exempt from the storms of life. I'm not exempt from the tears of sorrow. I am not exempt, but I am also with the one who can calm the storm. That makes all the difference in the world. Right? Your lost neighbor goes through storms. right? Had no idea that what we do is called on God. Right? The very thing that you're going through, your lost neighbor goes through. But they don't have what you have. Think about what an advantage it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That right in the very middle of the storm, all I've got to do is say, Lord, save me. And they did what? Marveled. Ain't that something? What you thought would kill you made you stronger. When they got off that boat and they'd stepping high, first fella they seen, you ain't gonna believe this. He said, peace, peace. And guess what the wind did? Guess what the waves did? Mark my words, if you're not following Jesus, you won't see this. See what you miss. See the extraordinary miracle that you miss when you're not following Jesus. These men's, not only was their life saved from the tempest, which according to the scripture had covered the boat, right? Waves covered, how Jesus was asleep, I don't know, but covered the boat. And he calmed the storm. How many'd say he's done that for me before? There's been times he calmed the storm, and then there were times he just calmed me. Either way, it was calm. But if you ain't following Jesus, you're exempt from that. Right? You'll miss that. The disciples got to witness the miraculous of Christ occur. They seen it with their own eyes. I could say the same thing. I've seen him do things that were unexplainable and simply fixed a problem. Just fixed it. You say, why? Because I asked him. Why? Because I'm a follower of him. Why? Because I know he can do anything. What's the Bible teach us about following Christ? Miracles everywhere. There's nothing too hard for him. Nothing that's impossible. That all the things the world goes through that come to my life as well, I have a helper. I have somebody I can call on. I have somebody that cares and loves me. And all I've got to do is call. Come get us home. What's the Bible teach us about following Jesus? Well, if you follow Jesus, he's going to teach you. If you follow Jesus, you're going to experience or witness the healing of God. Somehow, somewhere, some way, you're going to experience the healing power of Christ. If nothing else, he healed our soul, didn't he? Wasn't that a miracle? I'm still telling people about that one, right? What he did for me. If you're following Jesus, it's going to cost you something. If you're following Jesus, doesn't mean the hard stuff don't come. Just means you got somebody to help you. Boy, is he a good helper. I love how the psalmist said it. He said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all of his trouble. Over and over, he's rescued us. You know why? Because you're a follower of Jesus. You ashamed of that? I'm so happy to be a follower of Jesus. I'm so glad that he lets me follow him. That wasn't exhaustive, but it's what Matthew shared in them few chapters. Are you a follower of Jesus? Right now, the Holy Spirit may have revealed to you, and you may know right now for sure that you've never really been a follower of Jesus. You've seen him come through town a time or two. You've watched him from the window. You've admired the work that he's done. And those people that follow him around, they sure are different. They're strange, but You can tell they love him. You just now realizing that you're not one of them. To become a follower of Jesus, you have to be born again. Made a new creature through Christ. And when that takes place, you'll get in line with the rest of us and experience the wondrous, glorious, miraculous, just being a follower of Christ. If you don't know him tonight, I give you an invitation to come. Come know him. If you do know him, maybe you need to be right. Maybe you know in your heart you're not. You need to repent. Get back into the place where you're following Christ. Make that decision. Step out. Open your heart and pray that prayer. But get right with God. All right. As we stand.